Please thank him and say, Lord, I am grateful. I am truly grateful that I have come to learn. That's basically what we do here. And I believe because our desire is to learn, our desire is righteousness. There are deposits that comes with that. In the course of learning, you will be healed. The Bible said why Jesus was teaching. The primary thing he was doing, he was teaching. The power of God was present to heal. And I believe for every meeting, why the message is going on, the teaching is going on, God is depositing things in the life of his people. So thank him and say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you because you have brought us to the congregation of righteous men. For the love of God, well, for your word that you have put in my life, I thank you. Now, I'd like you to begin to ask the Lord this evening and say, Lord, speak your words to me this evening in the name of Jesus. Speak your words to me. The Bible said while Paul was teaching, he saw that somebody had faith. He just saw that somebody had faith. And he told the person, arise. Please pray. Say, Lord, this evening, pour the spirit of faith into my heart. In the name of Jesus. Speak to yourself and instruct yourself this evening again. Say, I will not be distracted. Call your name. Say, my soul, you will not be distracted. I have come that faith might be impacted into me. And I open myself for that spirit of faith this evening. I open myself for that spirit of faith. Lord, we give you praise forever. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let's invite our sister, Blessing, to take the Bible reading for the day.
Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible from verse 1. I read, the word which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For thou hast abandoned thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased. The loftiness of man will be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. For it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful crafts, and the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But the idols will completely vanish, and men will go into caves of the rock and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord, before the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day, men will cast away the moles and the birds, their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs. Before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble, stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed? Praise the Lord.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's declare the words of understanding. Remember, is what? A declaration. All right. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. Not spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We are continuing our discussion, of course, on the subject we have been on for some time, which is concerning how to build up our faith. Now, please, let's remember one thing we have been saying again and again, and I think it's so important we don't miss that point. And that's the fact that it's not just what you are looking for that you get when it comes to spiritual things. Many times, there are things you find when you are not looking for them. That is, Solomon found wealth, long life, you know, influence, expansion of his kingdom while he was looking for wisdom. We explained that Ruth found faith when she was looking, when love was working through her concerning the life of her mother-in-law, Naomi, all right? So we said that faith is a spiritual substance, a spiritual ability that God gives to you. What you are looking for in life actually is a major problem. And let me just quickly drop this. As believers, the primary thing that should be in our hearts is I want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects and to bear fruit in every good work. Remember, it is possible for somebody to be a Christian and still be defiled. His spirit can be defiled. Let me say that again. You don't say because your spirit spoke to you, it means it is right. People have heard their spirits and they've been wrong. Why? Because spirits can be defiled. That's why Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. That is, there are things we need to do to ensure that that defilement does not happen to us. You can be a Christian and still be in the gall of bitterness and still be in the bondage of iniquity. We saw that concerning the life of the man Simon. When we read last time extensively from the book of Acts chapter 8, we saw that Simon believed. Now, but because there was something inside him, and I explained, let me just go over it again briefly. Many times people are doing things, you don't know what exactly is pushing them. Simon probably went into, you know, seeking those dark powers because he wanted to be influential. He wanted to be important. Sometimes, you know, I've heard a man say to me before that his worst fear in life is that of poverty. That the thing he fears in life is poverty. Now, such a man will give his life to Christ. Listen to this. And he'll start believing all kinds of doctrines. They will say, go and sow a seed or not, to cancel the sin of three generations so you can prosper. He will believe. They will say, okay, what you need to do is to take your neighbor's car and sow it as a seed. Then when God has multiplied it, you can dash your neighbor three. He will go and steal and believe it, you understand? Act upon that word. And of course, nobody's giving you three again, you know. Now, what I've told you now, somebody did it to his brother's car. His brother traveled. You know the way it is, you leave your brother in the house, okay? So somebody came to their church and preached. So he went, took his brother's car to church, dropped the key as an offering. And he was expecting that what God will have done is to multiply the seed. So by the time his brother comes back, he will have bought a better car and the brother won't be angry. I mean, Now, so a man whose worst fear is poverty will believe such things and act upon them. We saw last time that that was a problem with Simon. There was something inside him that was pushing him. We're just using that one to illustrate it. Maybe he wanted to be influential in life. He hated poverty too. And he said, how do you get it? He went into the occult. He learned the use of dark powers. He became very influential. He gathered crowds to himself. Then one day, Philip came, and then he believed. But then that thing had not left him. There are people who are proud. There's a man I knew once. Well, I hope I'm not judging somebody else, okay? I should judge my own problem. But this one, you don't know him, so I can use that as an illustration. He was very proud. I heard his story of what he was, his achievements in life. Very handsome guy like this. Very proud. Then he gave his life to Christ. Then he became very proud of being a Christian. His Christianity was full of pride. Do you understand my point? But it was still pride. I hope you're getting my point here. So it is possible for a Christian to hold that thing. And the thing is pushing, sometimes making him do what appears like good works. But the Bible says, David was saying that God desires truth in the innermost being. It's not just what you are doing. It is the reason why you are doing it. Do you get my point? So we don't say because I'm a Christian, everything is okay. No. We have to deliberately. I need to remind us again, sometimes God has blessed us. That's something I've not heard anybody preach before, but I'm sure people have probably explained it using different words. Sometimes God blesses people on credit. I said it last time. The fact that your life is going smoothly does not mean that's exactly what God wants. Sometimes God just allows you to have things because he believes that a time will come when you will learn. We saw the example of Saul. God allowed Saul to be king in Israel. I expect that now Samuel will train him. Samuel will teach him some holy things, how to handle holy things. Samuel will teach him the things that are important that he should do and the ones that he must not do. And then when he will have learned them, then I will establish his kingdom. But Saul refused to take those instructions. So his kingdom was not established. And God therefore changed his mind concerning the fact that this man was made king. He said, I regret, he said to Samuel, that I've made Saul king. I hope you're getting my point here. And that's the way it works. So many times we've been blessed in life. Let's still correct ourselves. And remember what I said, just like our Bible reading for today. He said there's a day of reckoning that is coming. All right? We read from that Isaiah chapter 2. You will see there if you go to around verse 12. New American Standard says, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. It will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, all the hills, against every high tower, against every fortified wall. You see what he's doing here? Everything that is lifted up against the knowledge of God, he will judge. And there will be a day of reckoning. What does that tell you? There will be a period those things will seem to prosper. There will be a period those things that are negative, those that are wrong, things that are not in keeping with the will of God, will seem to prosper. I hope you're getting my point. And that what God does is to, judge things after he has made a demonstration of them. What am I trying to say here? Let me give an example, okay? The number of things on this earth that often stand or have stood at different times against the knowledge of God. God always comes to judge them at a particular point in time. Communism prospered for a long time. Please don't ever forget this. Those people said there is no God. What we need is ourselves. Yet they became mighty powers. Russia became very great. The Union of Soviet and Socialist Republics, USSR, became very, very great. They were matching America power to power. But God was just watching. So listen, I want them to be lifted. When they are lofty, in the day of my reckoning, I will judge them. And the day of reckoning came, and he judged those things. I hope you get my point. That's what he does. God, see, he's very patient. Sometimes I have a problem with his patience, but that's just the way he is. Are you getting my point? There are times I wish he would judge some things quicker, but he just doesn't. He gives time, then he judges things. I hope you get my point. So communism was lofty. Then God judged it. Okay? And listen to me, no matter what appears lofty, especially when it directly stands in the way of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that thing will have a day of reckoning. And it will crumble so fast. You get my point? Now, don't let Islam scare you. Do you understand? Anything that stands in the way of the knowledge of Christ Jesus as a true Son of God has a day of reckoning. That date has been set. Listen, everything. Sometimes I feel sorry. Let me not go into that now. I'm about to get sidetracked into something. So there are some good doctrines that Christians even preach. I said, God will judge all of these things. It appears good. But once it is lifted high and is obstructing people from knowing Christ Jesus properly, that's a day of reckoning. But what are we teaching in our lives? How to build up our faith? Understand something? This is a scary part. This is the third day I'm speaking on that. Every idea, every thought, every doctrine you hold in your heart, no matter how much it has helped you till now, if it stands against the knowledge of the grace of Christ in your life, a day has been appointed that it will fail. If you have, maybe you have a very influential background, your family has money, you give your life to Christ, you are still used to using the influence of your father's name and the funds that come with the name to get things done in life, that thing will be judged one day. God will leave you for a long time more. But while he's leaving you, it's because he says, judge yourself, so I don't have to judge you. The day he's coming, that he will judge that thing. He judges it different ways. What he wants to, he will hear from your mouth. He said, how did he say it again? Bell stoops over. Nebo has bowed down. He said, every mouth will say, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. That everybody must open their mouth one day to declare that. Whatever it is, listen, you have a PhD. You are very, very intelligent. It has gotten you things in life. It has gotten you this far. That thought in your head will be judged one day. The time you need your intelligence the most, it will fail you. The time that your intelligence should save your life, it will just not work that day. You will discover that the counsel of Ahithophel has been turned to foolishness. Everything in life has a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. And that's what we're explaining. What do we do? Last time we explained it in detail. Please, if you're not around last time, I think you should get the message. I was telling my wife that after I listened to it, because we had to go through to package it for distribution, I said this is probably the most important message I've preached this year. It will rank amongst the top five I've preached in my life. I may be wrong. Are you getting my point? Just the way I feel. I want everybody to listen to it. Especially when I explain the fact that people are blessed on credit. Israel came into the promised land free of charge. But God said, you will not stay inside the promised land free of charge. They needed to obey certain instructions. The promise to their fathers brought them in. But to stay inside, God said, these are the laws by which we live inside that promised land. That's why he would tell them things like, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you will live long in that land that God has given to you. I hope you're getting my point. These are very important things we must understand. Okay? So we have been looking at those things. So we are talking about, last time our Bible reading was taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read that one last time. I just want to bring out a particular verse, which was the main reason we read that portion last time. From verse 10, Paul said to us, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, whatever you use, each man's work will become evident. That is in that day of reckoning. We read about that earlier. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, we read that one last time, and what we're bringing out from there, Paul was specifically talking here about the preaching of the gospel. Paul was specifically talking here about how people should be careful what they teach to the body of Christ, how they advance the gospel, what do they go around teaching. But we are saying the same principle applies with our lives. Our lives have different aspects. Each thing we want to build, we have a foundation of a blessing in Christ Jesus. The Bible makes it clear to us we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we already have that foundation, okay? Our foundation is in Christ, but then it is possible to build wrongly on that foundation. As a child of God, you can build wrongly on the blessing that God has given you. Do you understand my point here? So he said we should be careful. That principle is there. So we said, if God gives you a wife or a husband, that you have a marriage you are building, be careful how you build it. If God gives you children, be careful how you raise them. If God gives you a career, be careful how you build on that career. If God gives you a business, be careful how you are building your business. Everything in life, especially for us, I'm not talking to unbelievers now, I'm talking to Christians, especially for us believers, the day of reckoning is coming. You know, recently, there was a Nigerian man, I won't mention the name now, but many of us, if you are up to date with the news, you know what happened. A few years ago, he was listed and featured in Forbes magazine as one of the young entrepreneurs in Africa under the age of 30. He was already doing big. He was into real estate, oil and gas, and all of that, okay? So big guy, everybody, you know, giving lectures, you know, people, even churches, I'm sure they've invited him to come and teach them on how to build business. Churches have done it, I'm sure. He has spoken TED Talk, you know, he's been there talking. Then, the day of reckoning came. The day of reckoning showed up. FBI had been investigating for a very long time. People started saying things that, hey, you know, he couldn't really explain to us where he got initial investment. I said, oh, now you know. Suddenly they found out that, you know, lots of millions of dollars were stolen from some international companies. And it was among those who stole the money. And that was where he got his initial investment from. I said, everything has a day of reckoning. Everything. My wife and I were discussing today. I said, it looks like this is the season of reckoning. This is not even the day now. It's the season of reckoning. I said, there are pastors who are afraid now. They are calling all those choir girls. Okay, how far now? How much? They are negotiating. That is, some girls are making money now, blackmail. Meanwhile, that one also has a day of reckoning. Why? Because social media is spoiling things for people. Things people did in secret. WhatsApp is now helping us distribute it worldwide. It's a day of reckoning. Everybody's behaving themselves now. It's a day of reckoning. Things we did, we thought we'd get away with. We are now being exposed. Do you get my point? My wife and I were talking today. I said, this is a day of reckoning. Serious is a season. That young man, for me, was a personal embarrassment. You know, we're all Nigerians. It's a personal embarrassment. If you were prospering in your own small corner, no trouble. Then Forbes printed your face for us. Everybody's reading your story. Then now FBI read another part of the story and published it. Everything will be judged. I feel like saying it again. Let me repeat what I said last time. God is giving every one of us the opportunity to repent and be saved. You know, I thought about it. People used to say, salvation is by faith, faith, faith alone. I said, listen, I don't understand. Repent and be saved is part of salvation. The faith that does not produce repentance is not genuine. Yes, we know salvation is by faith. But if it does not produce repentance, it's not genuine, it does not save. Faith that is dead does not save. Salvation is free, is by faith. But if the faith is dead, it does not save. How do we know the faith that is alive? James said, is by the works that it produces. And I realize the first work of faith is that repentance. Repentance is not crying. It's not shaking your head. It's just simply saying, I won't do that anymore. I was wrong. Now I have been corrected. Now I'm going to do it the right way. That is what is called repentance. It's not banging your head on the wall. It's not crying morning, afternoon, and night. Crying is good though, if it will help you. But if you finish crying and you don't change your ways, you have not repented. There's a difference between remorse and repentance. Anytime you catch a man, he will feel remorseful. Then when you uncatch him, he continues in his way. What's the meaning of catching somebody? I don't know, but the Lord is good. So let's be careful. That's what we are making. So those are the things we have been discussing. Remember, we are going for the, we want to please God. Faith is released into our hearts, not because we are trying to have faith. The problem of faith has been this compartmentalization of faith. That people say, let me go and get faith. It has been a difficult way to get it. But if we just go out of our way, let me go and please God. Let me go and learn what God is saying. Let me go and receive the instructions in righteousness for the purpose of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Faith is poured into our hearts. We saw the example of Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Ananias, those four Hebrew boys. What mattered to them was that let's not defile ourselves. We are, for goodness sake, a peculiar people. We are the people of God. And that was why God poured faith so strong in their hearts. When they saw the fiery furnace, they were not bothered. The threat was clear. They didn't change their words. And they said, there's no point to waste time. Say, there's no point in wasting time. Let's get straight to it. Sir, if it is to bow down to this idol, we just don't have the ability to. I know our God is able to deliver us, but that's not why we are saying what we are saying. It's just that we cannot bow to any other God but him. Those were not normal people speaking. Those were people possessed by the spirit of faith. How did they get that spirit of faith? Because it set out in their hearts from the beginning that we just want to be in this kingdom and not, that is Babylon now, and not displease our Lord and not defile ourselves. That was what was inside their minds, and God poured the spirit of faith on them. So remember, how many areas? Four we have been looking at. First, how we interpret our lives. We do that deliberately with God's word. Then faith is boosted. Two, our expectations. Three, the precepts by which we walk, the precepts by which we build. That's what we've been talking about for some time now. And I just realized I'm not done with it yet. Like I may say, we must be deliberate. What did I say? We must be deliberate. When we are building different, that's what I'm talking about now. When we are building different aspects of our lives, we must be deliberate to investigate and learn what exactly is the method of God for building it. You don't know until you have deliberately learned it. Anything you know naturally is wrong. I hope you're getting my point. David said, come you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, the fear of God is not natural. Societies have their own rights and wrongs, their own standards. The first day I heard a man say in their society, if women are sitting down, men come in. You know, the women get up for the men to sit. I was surprised, like, what? What kind of people are you people? But I just realized that I was trained. Okay, by that time, of course, I learned this in university. I don't even know what my society is. But when we were in school, in fellowship, we were taught that the Bible makes it clear that we men, we are the stronger, you know, people. So we should take care of our women. We learned it. It was a culture created in my fellowship on campus. And like I always say, that if you saw, you know, campus boys, they like to be boys. You know, like, my girls can't do it anyhow. So normal boys don't carry load for girls. But say if you see any girl walking and two guys carrying her load, she's a Christian. No, I'm serious. And our sisters in fellowship were very good at that. When they want to carry load, they come and visit us. I still remember one time, school closed for a short period. So when we're now coming back, all of us didn't go far. So some of them, of course, a lot of people moved close to campus but out of school. So two of these sisters, they wanted to bring their load back to school. I still remember that day. They came to greet us. So how are you guys doing? We thank God, we're trying to come back to campus. And so what is the problem? Our load. Of course, we dutifully got up, dressed up, and followed them. I know what, they won't carry anything though. They'll be escorting you as if the load is your own. There's another culture our sisters had. One day we had to discuss it in the ex-school meeting of our fellowship. They will come to fellowship wearing these their fine blouses, fine dresses, and they know it is cold. Then when you start preaching, they start shivering. And they look at you, I'm cold. You know what that means? Remove that to your jacket. They did it. You know, wear sleeveless blouses on a cold day and come to fellowship and sit down there. Okay, when you are doing prayer, is there everybody singing? Everybody is warm. They want to sit down. They want, especially when we meet in places like sports complex those days, open. Breeze will now blow. Then they will feel the breeze and they will not do their hand like this. Be rubbing the hand and see that will generate enough cold and enough heat. The next thing they look at you, I'm cold. And then we didn't have the spirit to say no. Then you will grumble. There are things we did grudgingly. If I still remember one day, there was one beautiful black jacket I had like this. And that's a black. The beautiful light blue jacket. So one day, one sister returned it to me. Another one said, hey, I've not worn my portion yet. What am I supposed to? That is me, wake it up. That is like, you can freeze. That's your problem. No, seriously, it was our culture. What I'm going to say, that's how we're taught. So you can imagine my surprise when later on in life, a man said in their place, women stand up for men to sit down. And like that, which kind of human beings are those men in your place? Now that I'm preaching to you, I realize that even that culture I had, it was not natural. It was in fellowship we learned it. It was discussed. It was taught to us that that's how godly men behaved. I said, what you know naturally is not the word of God. It's not the word of God. It's what God teaches you. David said, come, you children, listen to me. That is, before then, you didn't know it. What am I teaching to us again today? Please, people of God, in every aspect of life, you must deliberately learn it. You must search it out. You must ask yourself, because listen, believers, let me say something to us again. We have not been called to play. We have been called to deliberately express the will of God in every aspect of life. Sometimes it is hard, sometimes it is painful. Obeying divine precepts is not the method by which you get rich. Let me say it again. If you want to believe God for wealth, go and believe God for wealth. But don't think if I do what is right, God must not reward me with abundance. No. He just says you must live in a particular way. The world does not know it. I want to express it. When he says you are the light of the world, that's the meaning. Being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world, they have two slightly different meanings. If you are the salt of the earth, that is for you to be the salt of the earth, you have to also be the light of the world. What does that mean? The light of the world means that you show other people how to live. Salt of the earth means that if you are walking in righteousness, your presence will prevent Sodom and Gomorrah from being burnt, from being destroyed. It will suspend judgment upon the land. That if the 10 righteous people were found in Sodom and Gomorrah, God would have gone away to give time. So being a righteous person makes you what? A salt. But being the light means that you teach other people the way to go. One of the things, I was talking about faith. The problem of faith being that it's been, we compartmentalized it. We want to pick it when we need it. I thought about it again. Before you can generate the faith to say, God, give me money, the first thing you will do, because God makes things easy. Let me say this to you else again. If anything looks hard in life, you have chosen the wrong thing to do. What God wants you to do is always easy. The one that looks hard is the one he wants to do himself. But you did not do the easy one. You had neglected to do the easy one because the easy one normally is in obscurity. Nobody's watching. It gets you no glory. But it's really easy. For example, four boys gathering and saying we will not defile ourselves. It's amongst themselves. Going to one man, not the king, just an official of the king, to say, please, sir, good afternoon, sir. Sir, actually, you know we are from Jerusalem. There are some foods you guys are serving here. We really don't, they are not kosher. Kosher, they call them. They are not our kind of food. The man said, but you eat it too. He said, sir, we know, but please, we are begging you. We really don't want to eat it because it will defile us. The way our God, the man was just looking at these young, they were teenagers, young boys. We're looking at them like this. Maybe 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. We're looking at them. What are you guys talking about? This, like now, yesterday now, the special menu, it was with pork. Very nice looking, but we don't eat pork, sir. Then that kind of wine, too concentrated for our people. No, we are from the royal line. No, you've been looking at like these small, small boys. What's up with you guys? It's a discussion. It's okay, sir. Test up for 10 days. Okay, let's watch it. 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they were healthier. They were better than the other boys just chopping away. He said, all right, if this will make things better for everybody, continue. See, it was not hard. There was no fairy furnace there that eat or I burn you. There was nothing like that. But you know what some people do? In private, nobody's watching. Oh boy, see meat. What is inside this pork safe that they say we can eat? So, but I've eaten it today. There's nothing inside. Don't mind those priests. They say we shouldn't eat pork. Man, the thing has its own special, unique, you know, it has this tang with it. When you eat, especially when they cook it with these roots from Babylon. So boys, good, they work. Then when the other Israelites come, clean their mouth. Hallelujah. Then they will eat their food. Then one day, the food they ate in secret will speak openly. When they say, bow before an image, then they start rationalizing. Oh, but we can stand in our hearts. God knows we have to be wise. His food, his food. You know, when you have eaten, you can't think properly again. When you have eaten, you're not supposed to eat. That's how it is with the things of God. The difficult things, like standing. Now, you know, this time around, they are standing to a face-to-face with who? Nebuchadnezzar. Not his official. Now, the fiery furnace is there. I hope you're getting my point here. That's a hard thing. But that's the one that God takes up by himself. At that time, God will breathe into the fellow. The fellow will not be able to bow. Let me say this to you. You sound funny. The heat of the fire will feel warm to him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, let me explain this. You know, once, when I watched The Passion of the Christ, I told my wife and Joy, we were together, three of us were watching in my sitting room that day. I said, Jesus was not feeling the pain. They said, how can you say like that? I said, I wasn't feeling the pain. Until I said it to a lot of people, they never thought about it. They are hammering him. You say he's not feeling the pain. I said, I don't believe he was feeling the pain. Can you go to the cross? Not yet. He said, before all, I said no. But now I just say, not yet. If I've been to the garden, I will be able to go to the cross. Why did I say Jesus was not feeling the pain? Because he has been to the garden. If you leave your house and go straight to the cross, if they hammer a rock beside you, you will faint. Not you, just a rock. Maybe they wanted to, bam, it hits a rock. Yeah, don't die. But if you go first to the garden, where there's no human being there, just you and God, you are kneeling down and saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And it took time. It's not a 2-minute thing. 1 hour the first time. 1 hour, I assume, the second time. 1 hour the third time. He was praying. By the time he rose up and came out, it's not as if nails are not painful, but he had been fortified spiritually. So that when you hit the nail, what his spirit felt was pressure. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So if anything looks hard, it is simply because we are not doing our own portion. We have taken the Lord's portion. God gives us simple things to do. Those simple things open our hearts to receive grace. I feel like teaching on grace again. Listen, never disagree with God. Anytime you disagree with God or make an explanation for why what God is saying may not be true, you shut off the flow of grace into your life. You will not be able to obey him. Once you start rationalizing, when somebody walks up to you, say, what do you think about divorce? They say, when it's rough, we'll better find your way. I want to say, man divorces wife, you start explaining and justifying it. You are cutting off the ability to stand in the day of trouble. Life has troubles. That's just life. That's life. Life has troubles. If you fail in the day of adversity, it's a sign that your strength is small. Now, so grace is the strength that God gives you to stand adversity. Listen, Christianity is not a joke. Are you getting my point? Part of our job as Christians is to suffer adversity. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. When I say suffer adversity, not to just go and fall sick and be in pain. That's not what I mean. I mean, if obeying what God has said will be painful, you go for the pain. rather than refuse to obey. It's not, you can't just be walking up and down in life as a believer, looking for where life is soft. Many times, now please, again, I always like to qualify so people don't misunderstand me. You can go anywhere. You know I keep saying it. David Livingstone came to Africa. Paul Elton came to Africa. Is that not traveling? Traveling is traveling. Amen? The difference is what? Why? Why? Okay? What I try to tell Christians is that if you want to explain to me why one country is different from another, please talk like a mature human being. Stop talking like David. It's not me. Solomon will say, stop talking like a fool. What do I mean? Say, if you get there, roads are good. If you get there, power is constant. I say, as a child of God, when you say that, I lose respect for you on the spot. It's easier to make money. There are job opportunities. Because I'll just be looking like you say, obviously you were born without a purpose. You are not what the Bible calls a beautiful child. No, go and read Moses, the story of Moses. The Bible said they saw that he was what? A beautiful child. That this boy was born for a reason. So if you're just some of those non-entities, mass children that fell from heaven, not the Samuels, fine. You can talk like that. But if you are one of these peculiar people, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, call forth to show forth his excellencies, there are things you don't see. Any trouble you see it as a challenge to be overcome. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Like I said, that's just a small digression, okay, talking about grace, okay? So, I want you to know that trying to say something. There are people sometimes want to believe God, you know, powerful faith to receive from God $100 million. And every day, in the name of Jesus, you are pacing up and down. Because see, that's not where it starts from. Those who have that kind of faith, they didn't start. Look, the day I read Strive Masiwa talking about how he used faith to collect, was it $2 billion to buy Econet from the, you know, public, from the open market to make it a company you don't trade. Was it $2 billion? He said $1.5 billion. He said that was what faith did for him. I said, Father in heaven. My boys are trying to believe God for 2.5. It has 2,500 naira. It hasn't showed up. So to me, that's a lot of money. Let's take $2 billion in any currency is a lot of money. If you think about it in US dollars, you know how much that is? It is $2 billion. If you think of it in naira, make sure your calculator has a lot of space. I hope you're getting my point. It's a lot. But the man said that's what faith did for him. We needed $2 billion. We got it by faith. We prayed to God, confessed the word, and it came. So many people are like, when will I reach that level? This is what I'm trying to preach to you. That's not where it starts from. You know where it starts from? First, believing that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That one is easy. That one, you're not under pressure. I mean, for goodness sake, you have only 2 shirts. That one just means know how to wash it. No? You wash this one in the morning today, wear the other one. When this one is dry, you drop this one for. That is just to manage your life. It's so easy. You're not owing anybody by having only 2 shirts. I hope you're getting my point. There's no company that needs you to save it by producing $1 billion. But when we spend all our time changing channel and say, "Omo, when I hammer," you're not satisfied. If you buy a shirt, it's a nice shirt. You're wearing it, looking nice. Then you see somebody who bought one that's 10 times more expensive than you, so you start feeling inferior. You start explaining that, "I like this shirt. It looks like that my own is in the wardrobe. It looks like that my own. Yeah, you wear yours on Sundays. I wear mine on Mondays. All right." You start telling lies. Why? Inferiority complex. Then you now get up in the morning, you want to believe God. Now go and, you know, this is the funny thing. Now go and gather the same books, Strive Mercy, you reads. Listen to the same messages. Now join his church too. Why? This church, faith flows there. You start asking yourself, which church did Abraham go to? I hope you're getting my point. You now see people running up and down. You know the truth? Because fundamentally, they have not yet received a simple thing. Like I said, the simple one. God says, "You've come to pray for plenty of money." Say, "Yes, let's start. I want to build up your faith." First, understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. First, understand what they call vanity. You know, my wife and I were talking about it again this morning. You know, many things we're just talking, I say, at the end of the day, all of this thing is what? Vanity. They were talking about a young woman who made a particular decision. That's what led to it. I said, look, girl, what you and I were calling big money, she saw it as small money. So she went for the very big money, the very big one, and met trouble, and met heartbreak, disappointment, and finally went down to ground zero. So we're talking about, I say, after all of this is what? Vanity. Would have been easier for us to just understand that everything that looks shiny outside there is what? Vanity. Do you know, actually, that is easier. You're not owing staff salaries at that time. You're not owing anybody. There's no loan, no, that you're supposed to service to the bank that's going to cost you $50 million a month. There's nothing like that. You don't have 5,000 people who need your signature to get their salaries. Nothing like that. It's just for you to just sit down there and accept that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Now, that one, of course, the Bible says, he that watches the wind will not sow, he that observes the cloud will not reap. That is, each phase of life has its own labors. That one also has its own labors. But that labor, even though every phase of life has its own labor, that labor is easier. It may mean you sitting down every day with a Bible, pacing up and down in your room. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. People believe God for big things, and I like big things too. But once I was reading my Bible as a preacher, I saw Paul write a letter, and he said, I have coveted nobody's goods. See, I have seen preachers get angry on the kind of car that the church gave to them. Which kind of car is this? I'm supposed to drive this one. And the car they're talking about, beautiful rider, that most young men will, that is, hey, they will be jumping up and down. Heaven will hear praise that day. Pastor looks at it and says, look. This is used. It's not even brand new. You guys take it away, John. A man went to his own church to preach. He said, that is, the pastor of a church, the men's fellowship gathered and said, we are doing men's deal. Pastor, will you come? Pastor went, share the word with them. This is not today. I'm telling you a story of more than 10 years ago. At the end of the day, they said, let's give pastor a gift, honorarium for coming. You put, now listen, 30,000 naira today is a lot of money. Is it like? Over 10 years ago, they gave the man 30,000 naira. He called them, abused them from the beginning to the end, that the money was an insult. I was confused. I thought he said he's a pastor of the church. This is the church. Not, he didn't travel. Then if they had brought like 250,000, I would have managed it. Then anything less than 300 is an insult. Talking about over 10 years ago. I looked at my friend. I said, are you still going to that church? You try. My friend, I said, you're very strong in my mind. Me? I'm not, like, the one I have given is the one I have given. It is acceptable according to what the man has. Not be by force. The leader of the men's group was now sweating, trying to gather the balance to make. I'm not kidding. Because sometimes we have some very funny bad names. But one day I was reading Paul. You know what Paul said? I have coveted nobody's goods. Kai! When I read that thing, it hit me. Paul told the people that, listen, I'm a father gives to his children. Ah! Do you get my point? It is not as if giving Paul a gift was a problem. You remember what he did to the Philippians? When they sent him stuff, he blessed them. He said, you will be blessed. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. He said, but listen, it has not changed me. It has not affected me. I'm just happy that love inside you has been kindled. That everybody has a spiritual account. This will fill up your spiritual account. That day I read what Paul said. I have coveted nobody's goods. It became my own prayer point. I said, God, I like this testimony. I've heard testimony that, it's pastor's birthday. This happened in Lagos those days, not now. S600. It was news all over Lagos. Not two people bought it, one man. And he testified that I've been believing God, that this man of God have to bless him one day. I was in Lagos that time, shortly after, I'm talking about, the story I'm telling is that I'm around 94, 95. S600. That's when the beast was the talk of town. But do you think I'm praying that God let that happen? That's not the prayer. The prayer is, I like the other one of Paul, which is what? I have coveted nobody's goods. Many people are believing God for money, big money. God says, you see, the problem I'm having, your faith is small. Why? The easier one to build faith with. You have not built it. You want to believe God for the ability to buy any shed, any cloth, any car you want. God says, I first need you faith to buy a shed that's not expensive. Speak to it that it will not hear. I hope you are getting my point. Yeah, speak to it. Say, in the name of Jesus, the God of the wilderness that took Israel out of Egypt and took them right into the promised land, and their clothes did not wear out. This shirt, this same God is your God and is my God. Then God will not give you wisdom. Don't use this kind of detergent. Don't hang it directly in the sun. All those kind of things. So that you will wear a shirt for a while, it will refuse to fade. You will have wisdom. You know, faith works with a lot of divinely granted wisdom. The first thing you use your faith to learn is contentment. People are always trying, you know, a lot of teaching of faith, that's what the problem was. We were wrongly applying the faith. People declare, look, listen, by faith, I don't have time for small things. But my faith, I go for the big ones. Hallelujah. That's not faith. Let me teach you today. It's not faith. It's not faith. David said, my eye is not haughty. Neither is my heart proud. So I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. It is not faith for you to be stretched and say, no, I don't use used cars. I only use brand new one. Brand new car is not even our faith. When you have the money, go and buy it. Don't give yourself unnecessary faith labor. Do you get what I'm going to say there? That this kind of muster of faith? No. What does your faith do? See, this old one I have, I will lay hands on it, cast out any knocking engine, any farm bird I want to cut on the express road, I speak to you, thou shalt not cut. We prophesy that when CVMS opens your engine, you will see every fault and fix it before you can embarrass a man of God. Hallelujah. That's an easier faith. I know, you see, I won't lie to you. It's easier. It doesn't mean you are not believing God. Bishop Oedipo said, life is in phases, men are in sizes. Life is in phases. You can't be getting involved. I like the way David said it. Say, I have not involved myself in matters too difficult for me. Christians think it is faith to be involving themselves in matters too difficult for them. I've seen churches that there are no more than 20 inside service. What is 20? Maybe okay, let's just say 50. They are building an auditorium of 3,000. I've seen church that there are no more than 5. They said they want to extend. You see, if money comes and you want to extend, you know, I don't have any problem with it. But we'll now be believing God in the name of Jesus. We declare, I say, bros, if it is faith you are using, use it to fill these seats now. Yeah. Because these things have measure. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Why are you exercising yourself in the difficult? Use it to, are you a preacher? Declare that these neighbors will hear the word, they will come to church. Use that one first. That's what I'm going to explain. I'm not saying you shouldn't desire good things. Jesus said it clearly, all of that will be what? Added. Many of those things, people believe in God for their additions. There are additions. They are simply additions. I give the example all the time of our kingdom. When we first started the video recording, I still remember. It was Israel and I at that time. They said that to do recording, to do this one, you needed this. When I heard the kind of light needed. Now we enter Kenyatta. Somebody setting up a studio at the same time, spent one light, $180,000 for one light. Bought a few of them. In a week, blew 3 million naira. We didn't have 3 million naira to blow in a year. You're talking about 1 week. You think I began to pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, I receive light. I receive the light. That can No. The person told me that, look, in Lagos it's 300,000, but I went to Dubai in my mind. Pastor Banky doesn't have money for Dubai flight tickets. If Kingdom World had it, I wouldn't spend it on such a thing. So I said, Israel, what shall we do? No be light. So we went to Kenyatta and began to download wisdom in the name of Jesus. And we spent 30,000 naira. Was the quality as good as the light of 180,000 for one? No. Was the word as good? I can assure you, the word was clear. And people watched our recording, and I got phone calls from East Africa. People watched that our recording. They didn't say, ah, which kind of light are you using? No. People, hey, many of you are with, look, we will use light. Sometimes it will melt while we are preaching. We will buy another bulb, put them. I'm telling you the truth. I won't lie to you. Any light we are not buying now is because I don't consider it necessary. If I get a professional to show up here now and say, look, he will light this place, or it will cost millions, we'll give him the money next day. It's not a problem now. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. There was a time that it was too difficult for me. The first time I went to Cosmo FM, let's broadcast the word of God, when they gave me bill, I left and did like this. Waka. That is, I was so angry. That which kind of wicked people are these ones? No, poverty is a terrible thing. You start seeing wickedness in ordinary bill. How can you be this wicked? How can you tell us to pay this amount of money to broadcast? Are we selling something? Not selling anything. I was so angry. So I left. I simply walked away. Then once I sat down, I was waiting for my wife in church. As I often do, I listened to a message in the car. And the pastor said something to today. I don't remember what he said. All I know is that in my spirit, what I heard, because it's time to get on radio. So I said, okay, let me go back. No, I now left them. Left Cosmo, went to Radio Nigeria. Negotiated, they were slightly cheaper. I said, okay, thank God. The day I was going to pay, somebody said, ah, wait now. Why are you going to Radio Nigeria? I said, ah, Cosmo is too expensive. He said, go and negotiate. This guy doesn't go to radio stations. He knows nothing about broadcasting. He just said, go and negotiate with them. I said, I was there before. He said, oh, God, try. He's not a broadcaster of any sort. He was my resident doctor. I don't know. I just listened to him and went back. Only to find out that the man I spoke to this time around said he has been authorized to negotiate and that he was going to give us, the discount now was going to come to almost 30%. Dropping the price a little lower than what we're going to get in Radio Nigeria. And the first day we went on air, bam, one guy ran into the rain, entered the bus, ran to Enugu to come and look for me from Nsukka. First day we went on air. He said he had never heard anything like that in his life. He didn't know where he was going. He ran to Cosmo FM. I'm looking for Pastor Banky. They said, he doesn't work here. Where can I find him? He was going, very people knew where Kingdom World Ministries was. He was going up and down. By the time he found me later, he was wet. So I'm like, what is he looking for? Nothing. He just wanted to see me. He had no agenda, no plan. Paying Cosmo FM was never a problem. The first time we paid, it was money that I earned from something. My wife and I, we just said, okay, let's just give it to the ministry work. That was the last time we paid a dime. That is, I had to put hand in my pocket, personal pocket. People were paid. That is, including our marketer in the radio station. When they went to pay, he cut off a whole episode, 15,000 we used to pay each broadcast that time. He removed 15,000 and gave us a full receipt that he would put in the balance. We kept on having favors with them. They wanted to say, okay, look, let's cut it down to 15 minutes twice a week. The guy who's now the MD at Magic FM, he was working there. I said, ah, Pastor, why? I said, no, people want you to even make it 1 hour. You want to cut it to 15 minutes? He said, is it money? I said, well, it's not like money is not a factor. He said, no, now, Pastor, let's discuss. So I now talked to the person in charge of marketing. By the time we're done, the rate they gave us, Father in heaven. Till today, I don't think anybody's matching it now. It was so wonderful. Paying them was never a problem. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Many times we don't take the small things first. What are we doing? We're taking the big things. You've never been able to sleep by faith without eating. Yeah, no, really. There are times there's no food. I call food. I say, no, I curse the stomach in the name of the stomach. I speak to you. Relax. Sleep in peace. In peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety and satisfaction. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You speak the word to the empty stomach and you go to sleep. You wake up next day feeling full. That's what you need first, rather than turning stones to bread. Anybody looking for God to give him big money, listen, forget that one first. No, people are believing God for big jobs. I'm getting a job in Mobile in the name of Jesus. Exxon is employing me. They are not. There's some application that are stained. They don't know it's anointing oil. The HR person looking like, what's up here? It's anointing. If anointed, some people receive application paper, cloth to fall out from inside. Man, too, it's inside the envelope. Listen, go and ask HR people. They've seen all kinds of things. You know, Christians now behave like a traditional babalawo. It remains for us to put cowrie inside. We put all kinds of things. One young man wrote us then, and it was a very, very funny one. He said that he sowed the seed. He anointed. He did everything. You know, this kind of one some of us do. We'll strike the envelope with mantle because Elisha struck the water with the mantle of Elijah. No, really. The bro said he did everything. So what did it happen? What now happened? The day he received the notice that he did not get the job, the one he thought he had, he lost it. He was now confused. His soul was confused. I said, at least now you have learned that everything you did is not so. We are using our faith to look for big jobs. You know what? First thing God is saying, use your faith to work well where you are now, with satisfaction, without any sense of inferiority. Stay there. Be productive. Be the best staff that they have. Use your faith for that first, before you start looking for big things. Use your faith. That is how it is. Use your faith. Listen, before you look for a million naira, use your faith to use 1,000 naira. You hear me tell stories now. And they are beautiful stories. I tell you, look, I got results of 3 million. Israel and I went to the market with 30,000 naira. The studio that was built with millions of naira closed. We have not closed. We are still expanding. That's the first thing faith does for people. First, it teaches you satisfaction. If faith has not taught you satisfaction, it can't get you abundance. It can't. Many people are still in the gall of covetousness and the bondage of iniquity. Look, you know, many of the funny doctrines people preach, sometimes you wonder, why would anybody believe this? The answer is very simple. The people are still in the bondage, they are still in the gall of covetousness and the bondage of iniquity. So if your life makes sense, they won't listen to you. Because somebody is trying to leapfrog their faith from contentment into covetousness, and they like it like that. People give offerings in dollars so that they can receive reward in dollars. You know, you see some strange practice. I say, when you see Christians doing strange things, just go and listen to the doctrine that's pushing them. People go and change their offering to $1, $1. If you know the way exchange works locally, it degrades the value. If you take $100, incidentally, you know, I find Americans hardly see $100. They don't spend it. It's too big. Last time my friend was pointing out to me, that was last time I traveled a few weeks ago. I just told him that, look, we need to move. So I said, please, can you help me change money to $29? So I gave him $100. So he laughed. He said, you guys from Nigeria, you're always pulling out $100. So I'm like, what is wrong with it? He said, we don't spend it. Now this is where I'm going. I said, locally, nobody will buy it from you at a good price if it's not $100 solid, a single bill. That, of course, you know, if they will buy $100 for $360, if you give them $20, they won't give more than $300. They don't want it. And my bank, GT Bank, said they don't want any. Once it's not $100, don't bring it to the bank. Because people found that the banks will take it at the normal value. They said, lie, they are not. That is, if it's not $100, don't bring it, we will not take. Yet somebody will now go and change his money to small dollar to give offering, thereby reducing the value of the offering. That's what I'm talking about. You reduce the value of the offering. Say, why? So that God can pay you back in dollars. No, Allah. God said, I will send back $1 to you in Nigeria. Go and change it. Maybe that's what you are looking for. All of this because we are looking for faith to achieve great things. Meanwhile, the primary thing that faith wants to do for us is small things. When we have done the small things, that's why Jesus will tell you things like, listen, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, just start from the small level. The big thing, look, those two people in the Bible that God said, great is thy faith, they were not asking for anything for themselves. They were operating by love, and great faith was poured in their hearts. What am I trying to explain? Anytime something looks difficult, you are doing the difficult one. It's not your job. It's God's job. Do I need faith to get a billion dollars? God said, don't worry. When that time comes, I will pour it into you. What do you need faith for? So stop thinking about money. See, December is coming now. This is Eastern Nigeria, where we all go to village. And if you don't go with a good car, you know, nothing for you. Now, you know what I want to tell you? It's time. No, don't worry. Don't believe God. Say, God, this December, you give me a car before I go. God said, no, I won't give you this December. I'm going to give you sometime later. Now, this is what we're going to do with your faith. You will go with confidence. You will not hide. You won't have the car. Not as if I don't go there and be, you know, there's some fake faith. It declare, I have a Land Cruiser. Say, where is it? It's in my stomach. You know that kind of thing. But you, yeah. You've not heard that one before? We used to do it those days now. Young Ichio taught us in the fourth dimension, the book, The Fourth Dimension. Yeah. The woman that's pregnant, does she have a child? Say yes. But where is it? In her stomach. So people, brethren will now come and say, I have just built a new house. Say, where is it? Say, it's in my stomach. Some brethren will not tell you it's in their stomach. They will tell you they have it now. When I start saying faith is now. Faith is now. Listen to me. I'm not here to argue with anybody. But the concept of faith is now. I don't know the meaning of it. More than the fact that if you have faith, it pleases God now. That to get the house right now, there's nothing like that. Because the Bible says faith produces hope. And when you have hope, your eyes have not yet seen it physically. But Jesus said, believe that it's working. Believe you are receiving it. So say, do you have a house? I have prayed to God for it, and he's preparing it. You're not under pressure to hide it from anybody. Do you get my point? Is faith now? Yes, in that case, it is now. But not that the house was already... Look, even if God gave you money now, you know how long it takes Bishop to build the house you like? So don't give yourself stress. That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. So this December, the first faith is brethren. How are you doing? I'm fine, man. I'm living well now. I used to have made more money. No. I have realized the value of things in life. Listen, you know the truth about life. Can I quickly drop something for you? One of the things God taught me early in life is how not to be ashamed. That is, what I mean is this. Okay, let me give an example. Many of you have been there before. The first day you went for a dinner, they now dropped you. You dressed well. The cloth is your own, thank God. But you enter the place, when you see cutlery, you see food, you don't know where to start from. Normally in your house, you wash your hand, you collected your pandadium, like you roll it well. Dip it inside the soup, roll it, eat it the way you like. You now go to dinner, they now give you the pandadium that is rolled. You don't even know how to unroll it. Everybody is now carrying fork and knife and doing like this. Now you carry fork and knife, you don't even know where to. How many people have been there? Only me? No, the day God killed me of that thing. I was in university. They organized one program. At that time I was president of my fellowship. I was invited to come. When I got there, they put me on the high table or more. They now brought the opener, the first course, pepper soup with chicken. I left my own, it got cold. I couldn't touch it. Do you know why? I was on the high table. See cutlery here. The man was preaching. I realized I was listening to the gospel. He said, I didn't know what to do. The one brother, I'll never forget him. He came in late. He came to the high table, sat down. As they were talking, he dipped his bare hands into his chicken. Yeah. Now I didn't hear the suffer since. And he was so confident. You know, he wasn't nothing about him. Since that day, I said, okay, I've learned now. Now I do anything. Since that time, I do anything I like. And if I don't know something, I will tell people plainly I don't know it. You know what I found out? They also don't know it. Most people don't know. Did you get my point? And it does not make you smaller to admit you don't know. I found out in out there. Hey. So anywhere I go now, I ask questions. Especially when maybe like, you know, you go to some countries, you know, you go to the US sometimes. If you live in Nigeria like me, I've always lived. First time I went, time to buy fuel. Filling station in Nigeria, there's always what? Attendant. This one, there's no attendant, just you. I had my card. I just parked. My brother-in-law had taught me before, but he was the one buying the fuel before and driving. Now he's gone. It's just me, the car, and I have to move around. When fuel read red, I just go there, park. I waited beside there. I just waited. Somebody arrived. It was one woman. Good afternoon, ma'am. I'm from Nigeria. I came for a course. I stayed here only 3 weeks. I need to buy fuel. I don't know how it works. There was no while. I gave her my card. You do this, you do that, you do that. Thank you very much, man. That one, she helped me buy that day. After that, I started buying it myself. Abi? Some people do, you go and spoil something, police will arrest you. Police will arrest you because. No, God help me with that thing. You know. Now that I'm older, I know the shame again. I have found out that I'm not worse than most people. What I'm going to say, the next time you go to the village, say you don't have a car, I say, bros, man, I don't save for some time, money never completes. Leave it like that. That's when the guy will not tell you, nah, true. This one said, nah, borrow herself. Because it's true. He wasn't going to tell you. He brought it to the village to make it look like, but when you sit down there, he sees you are not ashamed, nothing. And I said, boy, you don't have a car. I said, no, I don't. What? Man, I'm trying to build my business. The little money I have now, man, I just used to rent a better house. You know, I just got married. Uh-huh. So let me expand the business. Right now, let me be taking care and taxi. When I come to Lagos, I go use Uber. I say, eh? That's when you start hearing that, oh boy, you are very wise, oh. You are very wise. Now, they will start confiding in you. Say, you are very wise, oh. If you see the amount I'm paying on the loan for this guy, man, I almost don't die. They'll start confessing. That's what faith does for you. Hey, what am I preaching to somebody this evening? That's what faith does for you. There's nothing to be ashamed of. First, use your faith to tackle the small things and let God handle the big ones. Use the faith to go down to that village calmly this December. Not ashamed that you confess it ahead. You look into the mirror. Listen, Banky, you are not lower than anybody because of what they have and what you don't have. Spiritually, you are in Christ Jesus. You are accepted before the Lord. You are accepted in Christ Jesus. What could be better than that? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You declare it loud to the mirror. When you say regularly, faith fills your heart. That's the little thing you tackle with faith first. Then the big things will be added automatically as time goes on. I hope you're getting my point here. Remember, let me get back to what I was trying to say. So, our life has different aspects. What we do is we use our faith. That is one major way we exercise our faith. Is to learn God's instructions for different aspects. I said, what we know naturally is not the correct thing. It's not the correct thing. What you know naturally is not the right thing. You have to settle down. I gave an example. How do you treat your woman, that is, as a married man? What does the society say? What does the world say? Listen to me. You deliberately learn it. I said last time, many of us were married on credit. What do I mean by credit? God said, you didn't know enough, don't worry. You knew a lot of wrong things. I gave you a good wife, I gave you a good husband. But settle down now and make corrections. That is the full payment I accept. Settle down now and make what? Correction. Settle down and know that this is how, the Bible says, husband, now wives, be subject to your own husbands. Go and learn what it means. Don't assume you know. I don't know, start teaching on marriage now. Don't assume you know. Go and learn it. Wives and husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. What does it mean? What is the meaning of love is patient? Love is kind. How does it apply to your wife? There are problems. Listen, you see people have issues. You settle down that, if I had that, what did the Bible say? How did it say I should react? What does the word say I should react? You have your career, you are building. It is simple. Like we talk about business as an example. The world has its reasons and its ways for doing business. When we do our short seminar, Business by the Spirit, please try and be present. We just need to rearrange the minds of Christians. Everything for believers is a mission. If you can't see how you are blessing somebody's life, you can't see the gift of God inside you, you know, affecting people, you can't see a number of things. There are businesses you don't belong in. It's making money does not make it your own. Just like pastors are not allowed to preach certain doctrines because it makes money, Christians also don't do certain things just because it makes money. If you just have that attitude, there are many things you will not get involved in. Listen to me. This life. You know, I said God, he said, we read it from Isaiah chapter 2, that God has a day of what? Reckoning. Listen, people of God, listen. Your faith in Christ does not save you from the day of reckoning, except it has saved you from the works that God will judge. Did you hear what I said? If God is coming to judge everything that is lifted, if that thing is lifted, it's in your life, he will judge you too. There's nothing like in Christ Jesus, there's nothing. What Christ Jesus does for you is that beforehand, he will have judged, you will have by yourself judged that lofty thing in your life. Why people fall? Why people get trapped? And so, they are judged with the world in the day of reckoning. There's always something that's tempting that people are doing. Listen, even though people seem to be getting away with what is wrong, I beg you in the name of the Lord, keep away from it. Do you know why? God is coming to judge it one day. Listen, if there is a way business is supposed to be done, let me give an example. If you're a big businessman or you're a businesswoman, you are building big business, God helping you. Amen? Go and learn how tax is done in Nigeria. Don't say nobody's paying tax. You pay. Find all the legal methods to make your tax small. But please arrange your papers. Because one day, God will come and judge. The day of reckoning against tax evasion will come. And God will not say, because you're a Christian, it won't come to you. It will. Thank you for that thunderous silence. One of our brothers said something. I never saw it like that before. That's when he told me. So once they gave him a job, he does big jobs. I mean, big jobs. So one day, he bid for a job for the particular company. So they were going to give him the job. So when he looked at his breakdown, and he made allowance for taxes inside. So they called him aside and said, oh boy, look. Why does that one have to come inside? You know, they tried to explain why, how he could do without that. And he said, sorry, that's how I do my business. I pay the federal government its tax. He now told me something. He said, listen, I know where I'm going in life. He said, one day, I'm going to bid for a job, and it's going to be maybe $500 million. And they are going to ask me, have you ever done anything like this before? He said, how do I prove it to them that I've been building my company all this while? He said, because how do you prove it? You are telling me now, cut this, and then we know everything will be shrouded in secrecy. I do a big job for you, make it look small. He said, no, thank you very much. If you guys don't give me the job, forget it. But this is how I do my things. And he was driving me, was going to drop me somewhere. He said, look, that's how I do my things. Because one day, I have to prove to people I have done this level of business. And at that level, FIRS is looking at you like this. So the day you come and make a claim that did a job your daddy was worth $40 million, they want to see the papers. So how do you present papers that federal government portion is missing inside? You want to go to prison? You know, it was the first time I even saw that aspect of it. Listen. Whatever you are doing in life as a believer, settle down and say, how am I building it according to divine precepts? That's the point I'm making. How am I building it? Because the day of reckoning is coming. When God will judge every negative thing. That is coming. Like I've been saying all this while, one major thing faith does for you is teach you how to do right. Like we talked about it before, grace instructs us in how to do right. And it empowers us to do that which is right. So when we're building our lives, listen, everything people do, there's a reason why they do them. Go back to that, Isaiah chapter 2. He said, verse 5, "Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob." Why did God abandon them? Why is it that they were not experiencing the power of God in different aspects of their lives? He said, because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. We'll come back to this later, this soothsaying thing. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. There's a reason why they were doing it. Verse 7. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Can you see? They are going for money. They are going for natural, you know, blessings. Are you getting my point? Material things. And that was what caused them to be filled with influences from the east. And that's why they became soothsayers like the Philistines. He said, but in that process of pursuing their gain, look at verse 7. Their land has also been filled with what? No, sorry, verse 8. Their land has also been filled with what? Idols. That was the consequence of what they were pursuing. Their land has also been filled with idols, and they worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Now, as a result, when the day of reckoning comes, verse 9, so the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. That was what happened the day of reckoning. He said, do not forgive them. They began to prophesy again. Enter the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. What does that mean? That is, only the word of God will be exalted in that day. That those who stood by God's precepts are the ones that will be exalted. Now, this is what I'm trying to make here. Many things we do, like I said, everything we do, there is a reason why we do them. There is a reason. And the reason he's talking about here that Christians must avoid is what he called influences from the east. Influences from unbelievers. When natural people are telling Christians how to do their build their lives, you know they are filled with influences from the east, and one day that influence will come under divine judgment, and the believer will experience the judgment. I've given the illustration many times. Those days, as young men, I was a young man, my friends were young guys, a lot of them were bankers, and they told me that the way to move forward is to demonstrate unfaithfulness. The way to move forward is to demonstrate, you know, which word now? That is lack of being dependable. The way to move forward is to take a job here, stay 6 months, go to the next one, stay 6 months, that you keep on rising. Eventually, you rise to a big level. Do you know what happened? One day, the banks began to fold. Many people found themselves in banks that could not stand, and the banks folded. The ones that did not fold up, they downsized. And they did one thing, what they called last in, first out. When they began to sack people, they sacked those who came in recently. Before you knew what was happening, God had brought judgment against the influences from the east. The common man had been humbled. The man of importance had been abased. Only the Lord stood in that day. I hope you're getting my point. There was a time men were starting banks everywhere. They will collect your money. After a while, the bank will fold up. And nothing will happen. And then the day of reckoning came in the name of Sani Abacha. Because, you know, the law in Nigeria was simple. You incorporate the business, it folds. You know, it's limited liability. Your liability is what? Limited. And they started NDIC, Nigeria Deposit Insurance Corporation. I think that was NDIC. That was, hey, if the bank folds, you need to come and explain to us what happened to the money. The Abacha carried men and locked them in prison. And they said, bring the money back. Bring the money back. And men started selling. Oh, God. They sold all kinds of things. You know, there's a man I told you I met in Lagos. I went to preach in one church. A lot of big men in that church. So after preaching, they said whether I'll be willing to go to his house for lunch. So I went to his house, so we're talking. You know, it's just now I'm connecting it again. When those things happened, do you know he was not touched? What do I mean? His bank went down too. They almost, where it went down. He said, listen to me. He said that, but I told myself, and I told the Lord, that I must not put his name to shame. And that no depositor would lose his money who kept money with me. He had his own merchant bank too. So you know what he did? He started selling assets. He told me one stretch of, you know, beachfront property in Lekki that he owned, that I sold everything to pay everybody back. He said, because I said the name of God must not be put to shame. He said, look, I'm a Christian. People trusted me with their money. They must get it back. Everything he found, he sold. Listen, it got to a point. He said, my son was in his final year in school in America. He called me that he needed to have his fees paid by a particular date. I did not have money to pay him. Now, you're getting me, a man who owned the bank. He said, I didn't have money to pay. So I told the boy, he told the boy, listen, that don't worry. What date is your cutoff point? The boy told him. He said, the Lord will come through. Don't worry. You will get the money. He said, maybe the following day, somebody called him that there was one property he had somewhere that somebody wants to buy, whether he's willing to sell. He asked him, the agent, how much are they willing to pay? They told him, instead, told the guy, yeah, sell it. He sold it immediately. It was more than enough money to quickly wire to his son so he could finish his school. But you know, now I'm connecting it. By the time Abacha came on board, I started grabbing everybody and putting him in prison. He was not touched. He couldn't be touched. Why? Because before the day of reckoning, are you getting my point? He had taken himself away. But know what we want to do? They want to use influences from the East. You don't know. God rewrites laws, though. Don't think you are so smart, you will take the laws of the land to shield yourself in unrighteousness. No. You will know that the Bible says he's the governor amongst the nations. He will write, by the time he finishes writing the law, or bringing out one portion of the law you did not see, when they open it to you like this, you will know an angel was assigned to put you in jail. You will know. No, an angel is on your case. Once you see the prosecution like this, you recognize him. You saw him in your dream. This one came from heaven. Listen, that's what the Bible says we should judge ourselves. What am I going to say? When we are building our lives, we must be careful. Who is teaching us the precepts? You know, there's a statement I make again and again. Christianity is radical. Christianity is radical. What did I say? You know what that means? You will do what looks foolish in the eyes of everybody and they tell you you are not smart. Do it anyway, once it is the will of God. They will tell you this is a quick way to make money. Tell them the judgment of God is coming against every lofty thing. Listen, even if the society makes it difficult to do what is right, please, listen, what I want to say, maybe we'll talk about it during our Business by the Spirit seminar. Even if the society makes it difficult to do what is right, keep your eyes focused on what is right and start praying to God. That's what faith does, to help you do what is right, even though it is difficult. How he will make you do it, I don't know. But it's what your eye is set on that's the issue. Doing business, sometimes I see people do business sometimes. They will make certain decisions. My wife and I will discuss it. Listen, I tell her, this person's problem is he worships money. And you know, when you see an adult say 2 plus 2 is equal to 17, you'll be wondering. Now, I normally say when an adult says 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, there's one extra that's hidden. But I've seen adults tell me 2 plus 2 is equal to 17. You don't know where to start from. Say, excuse me. 2 plus 2, you say, oh, God, you say, check him. Under these circumstances, it has to be 17. Why? Because if he agrees it is 2, he will lose money. So he twists the truth. Why? He can't afford to lose more money. For that, now listen to me. How do I say this? You cannot pray yourself away from the consequences of disobedience. Who is it that will ascend to the mountain of God? Let's read that scripture. Psalms. Because, you see, Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He said, he who walks with integrity and walks righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own heart, and what? He swears to what? His own heart, and does not change. That's what I'm going to. He said this one swears to his own heart and does not change. He swears to his heart, that is, he makes an agreement with you. At the end of the day, he realizes he's going to lose money, and he does not change. I've seen a young man do that with me before, that didn't do it to me. We're discussing, we're in the same church together that time. Say, he offered to buy a man a car, just this. So finally, when he delivered the man's car, there was a bit of delay, he delivered the man's car. So discussion went into it. He didn't tell the man anything. So by the time he finished, and the man along the line found out something. He had to tell the man, he said, sir, I didn't want to tell you this. But as a matter of fact, this is the exact amount of money I lost on this business. I just didn't want to tell you. This was our agreement. I have delivered your car. But you know, because he delayed, he and the man were distant. He said, I swear to you that this, as a child of God, this is how much I lost on this business. No, but I'm not asking you for the money. It's because this led to it. The man looked at him, believed him, brought out his checkbook, wrote a check for him for that difference and gave it to him. The man, he didn't answer it. He collected, he thanked the man very well. But he was not planning to tell him. He said, I swore to my heart. That is why, listen, one of the things about being a believer, when you are doing business, we'll talk about doing business by the Spirit. That's why you are not in a hurry to open your mouth and give a quote. Because you know once you give it, and they give you a deposit as example, you are locked. For that reason, he said, bros, let me check. Tomorrow. Say, no, I need it. No, I said, God, I don't do no things. No, I said, God, I don't do no things. Please, sorry, I need to think. Because once I give you that invoice, and you give me a deposit, if I have to go and borrow money to finish it, I have to. But many Christians don't understand. They think, no. No, look at it now. I mean, I'm sorry, it was a mistake. Anybody can make a mistake. Hi, Jesus is Lord. Let me explain something to you. There's a way God deals with us believers. Even if he does not punish you, he denies you the blessing. God never blesses disobedience. The best he can do is overlook it. Many times he has overlooked us. Do you get my point? He said, don't mind him. He's not normal. The angel said, what do we do? He said, leave him. But they will not bless him. He struggles like everybody else. Having the troubles of unbelievers, grace is never released. I got a revelation from Psalm 121. You know what Psalm 121 says? He said, the Lord is my keeper, is your keeper, and the shade at your right hand. What did he say? He said, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Yeah, that's the verse I'm looking for. Once I asked, I checked, what does that thing mean? God said, I will never leave you exposed. That's what it means. Who is the man that the sun strikes by day and the moon by night? The man without shelter. The moon doesn't smite people. Do you get my point? The rays of the moon is not hot enough to damage your skin. But when David said that, when that statement came out from scripture, what he was saying is that you will not get to the point where you'll be defenseless. What does that mean? They will come to Jesus. Do you pay the tax? Peter will say yes. Then Jesus said, are we supposed to? But you have said yes. But there was no money. So Jesus said, no, the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. It took, as soon as that scripture came, he told Peter, go and get our money. It's in the mouth of a fish. Do you get my point? Listen, when we're talking about making, oh God, there are things you don't do. The Bible says, they're not going to judge you for it. It won't be angry with you. It won't punish you. But there's no blessing. That blessing, it has eluded you. If you at the time say, no, even though I know we had an agreement, but it doesn't favor me again. God, you look at it, you say, this one will never ascend to my hill. You will struggle all your life like every unbeliever. Struggle. Everything struggle. You know, we say that generational causes. God said, listen, I gave you the opportunity again and again to prove that grace is your portion. To say that that's what I want to receive in life, grace. I gave you the opportunity again and again, but you kept on denying it. So there are times, as believers, God will put us through those tests. And so, yeah, he will make you make a mistake. He will swear to your heart. Then he will see you struggle to make sure that even though it hurts you, you don't break your word. After that, he puts grace on your lips. So that even when you say something that is wrong, it will become right. I don't know what I get my point. Look, listen. You know one of the reasons why God cannot lie? It's not because he always, in quotes, tells the truth. Even though he does. But once he utters a word, everything cooperates with it. That's one reason why he can't lie. If he looks at a man and they ask God, what is his height? Now, he doesn't make mistakes, but let's just imagine this. What is his height? And they are switched the people. So he look and say, he's 6'5". Thinking that Hakeem Olajuwon was there. You understand my point? Now, he doesn't make that kind of mistake. And he points in that direction. Even though that man was only 5'8", when you turn, he will stretch and become 6'5". God will never lie. If he looks at your dress and says, who made this black dress for you? All of us will look back. You are wearing black. You thought you were wearing white when you came. But the Lord opened his mouth and said what? Black. That is one reason why he doesn't lie. And like the Bible says, it's not as if he doesn't lie. What did he say? It is impossible for him to lie. Once he utters the word, truth is defined by what he says. I want you to appreciate what they call grace. So if God puts grace on your lips and you tell somebody, we will pay you tomorrow and your bill is 3.5 million. Then as soon as you finish saying it, your worker says, sir, we don't have 3.5 million. He said, but I told you we'll pay him tomorrow. He said, oh, God. The last checks we gave out, they are drawing them tomorrow morning. Our balance in the account will be 125,000. Now say, I call the man and say, it's no longer tomorrow. Say, leave it. You know what God will do? Let me explain to you. There was a grace he put upon Samuel. Samuel made those mistakes. The money entered the account before that time. Samuel's words never fell to the ground. That's what I'm trying to explain. When God has poured that kind of grace on you, next day, in fact, you know what he will do? To show his power sometimes, he will make you forget. One thing to forget is that you've given a check as an example. You won't forget. The man will go to the bank, draw his check. 3.5 million, it will clear. Then your staff will not tell later, sir, how do you settle that man? Say, hey, that man, I forgot. You pick the phone to call him. As you pick the phone, a call will come through. And the man says, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your business. You're like, have you collected your money? He says, yes. He says, thank you very much. You call the bank. Oh boy, what thing happened? They say, okay, oh, there was a check that came in 2 days before. We had a problem with clearing it. So we finally cleared it the morning, about 2 hours before that man came. He said, all right, thank you very much. You go and check. Okay, there's someone owing us for 3 months. God woke him up one day. Go and pay. God will kick him. Go and pay, my friend. He will rush to the bank, deposit the money. They will now call later, say, you know that money we're owing you, please, eh? It was 6 million, but we have already paid 4 million. Give us 3 more, we'll bring the balance 2 million. Why did that happen? Because you have become one that swears to your heart and you don't change. For that reason, grace has been poured upon your lips. That's Christianity we're talking about. When people give such testimonies, we say, in Jesus' name, I claim that grace. Such graces are not claimed. You walk into them. You walk with God into them. You are tested. Sometimes your life is put at risk, business-wise. Let me hear what I'm saying today, so we can go home. Listen to me, people of God. Every aspect of our lives, we deliberately build it on. We go and look for it. Do you understand my point? We go and look for the precept of God and say, Lord, I just want to walk in a manner pleasing to you. I will not build my business, build my life on the precepts of the people of the East, of the soothsaying of the Philistines. No, I will stick with what you have spoken. Because you know what? I understand that you know when the Bible says that, if you read that beginning of that chapter 2, of that Isaiah chapter, of that Isaiah, he made it clear that it shall come to pass that what will happen? That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations will flow into it. What is he trying to explain? Their exaltation is that people, this is what I say, verse 2, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he might do what? Read it now, that he might do what? Everybody read it, that he might do what? Maybe you're not there. Everybody get it. It's verse 3. Verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2. Go back there. Let me start from verse 2. It will come about that day, in the last days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. What are they coming to do? To come and tap an anointing? No. Many times we think an anointing. I watched one man the other day on TV. I'm not saying it's bad though. This guy lay hands on buckets of oil. They were pouring the bucket like this. Laying hands on hundreds of people. I told my wife, I'm trying to judge, I have to be careful. Two ministers, I watched them on TV, trying to judge where do they belong. I wanted to just know. I wanted to know which side they are on. But I told my wife, my major problem I'm having with them is that the focus is on the anointing on the man of God. Prophet, prophesy. Papa, prophesy. Everything is prophesy. I'm beginning to have an issue. I say, bros, is it like that? When I get home this evening, I'll watch again. It's real entertainment for me. It's real entertainment. Now, they are not coming to tap anointing. What are they coming to do? Verse 3. And many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Why? That he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Did you notice that? There's something they saw. They knew that your way is different.
Yes, sir.
That's what they are seeing. That's why they're coming to learn. That these guys do things differently. I feel like prophesying for a married couple here this evening. People will come to your house to come and learn marriage.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Your neighbors, listen, don't be afraid. That they don't feel burdened. You will settle people's quarrels. Husband and wife, every fight, it has your doorstep. Do you know why? They've wondered, you and your husband, how do you manage? You and your wife, how do you manage? They've seen that you've been married for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, even 2 years, even 1 year. But they know there's something different in that house. There's something different. The husband loves the wife. The wife honors the husband. The children respect the parents. Say, how are you guys doing it? You know, when people start coming to look for you, coming to you to ask questions, it's because they know there are answers. Do you get my point? Listen, house of Israel, true Israel of God, let's walk in the light of the Lord. The world is confused. They need direction. We are the only ones that can give it. The one who's supposed to be the leader shouldn't be the follower. The world shouldn't teach us how to do things. Listen, I know your father was a Hittite and your mother an Amorite. That's what the Bible says. I hope you get my point. But now that you are in Christ, you are a new creature. And you have been put, the new spirit has been put inside you. You need to drink of the precepts of God. Live by it. You know why? So other people will have somewhere to go. I don't know. Are you getting my point? They are confused. They are in darkness. Years ago, a student of mine, my class captain, he came to my office. I said, "Class captain, what's the problem?" He said, "Sir, I just want to sit down." Oh, I left him. I understood what he meant. He came, he sat. He just sat there, thinking his life. When I finished thinking for a while, "Are you okay now?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he left. He came to, no, I'm not joking. He came to absorb peace from my office. Climbed to my office, sat down. He just wanted to drink of the peace of God in the atmosphere. People are looking for where to go. They are confused. You can't afford to be, "Oh, Jesus is Lord." You can't afford to be making decisions like unbelievers. Now, this is not about pleasing God or not pleasing God. You are confusing them further. You are confusing them further. They are looking for direction. Who will give it to them if you are behaving the way they are behaving? At the beginning, please, my people of God, especially if you are at the market, they will call you a fool. See, that man is very foolish. Customers are taking advantage of him. You know what you are doing. Mark these words, the word of God. Listen, I know the way God behaves. Anyone who laughs at divine precepts you are walking by, every single one, even if he laughs in secret, God will bring him openly in trouble to you to come and ask for counsel. You hear what I said? Everybody that mocks at the divine precepts by which you are walking, by which you are walking, by which you are doing your things, one day, God will drag. You know, I said, God always collects his payment. You can't owe him permanently. He will drag the same person to your office. Yeah? Sit down there. Begging for advice. You will see a man one day will take 2 hours of your time asking all kinds of silly questions. "Okay, so when it happened, what do you now do?" "Okay, then what you do now do?" "Okay, what do you now do after that?" If you go to court and call, you'll be asking questions. How do you stomach such things? You owe God just one thing, to tell the man, "These are the precepts of Christ. I have the spirit of Christ in me. He gives me power to do them." Let's bow down our heads. Let's pray. Let's go home. God needs ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to represent him properly. Let's say, "Father, thank you for grace." Say, "Lord, thank you for grace. Lord, thank you for insight. Lord, thank you for the ability to walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects." Say, "Lord, help me. Teach me. Teach me. Who is it that fears the Lord? The Lord will teach him in the way that he should choose. So Lord, teach me the way that I should choose."